Good evening. I don't know what it is with my voice, but it has been going in and out for a while now, so I've only had it go out with me once where I couldn't preach, so hopefully that won't happen here. And the only reason I couldn't preach there is we had a train track that ran right beside the church building, and the trains always came through right in the middle of the sermon, and there was three crosses right there at the next to the building, so it was a constant horn from the beginning all the way past the building, so you couldn't hear anything. But hopefully my voice will be a little bit stronger next week. We began this morning talking about how we can go about increasing our opportunities to share the gospel. We've been talking about evangelism, and we began by looking at ways of motivation, understanding the motivation that Jesus had, that it was God's will that He was here to fulfill, and that was His work that He was to do here upon this earth, and that was His sole thought, is to fulfill the will of the Lord. And we also noted how we've looked at how we should keep proper perspectives, that we are but laborers in the vineyard of the Lord, that we are here to do a work, and that once we have sown the seed, we have done that which God has asked us to do. It does not matter really the reception of the seed. We looked at the parable of the sower, and how three out of the four hearts that received the seed did not receive it, or they might have received it for just a moment, but it was taken away. And so we need to look not on how many are necessarily obeying the gospel. That's a wonderful thing to be able to look and see a large number obeying the gospel. But the important thing is how many are being presented with the gospel. How many are being taught. And that will help us to keep from getting down on ourselves because we feel like we're being failures. But as long as we're presenting the Word of God, we are successful. And it is God that gives the increase. And we began looking this morning at ways that we can increase our opportunities to share the gospel. And the first thing we noted that we needed to do things that would make a caring congregation. We noted that we need to be a congregation that the Lord feels would be suitable for a babe to be put into, that he will learn what he needs to learn, that he will be given the opportunity to grow in the ways that he needs to grow, that he will be encouraged. And we need to make sure that we're doing that. And the best thing that we can do that is to increase in the love that we have for one another. And you can do that, as we noted this morning, by spending more time with one another. I'm going to pat y'all on the back a little bit real quick, just make y'all feel a little bit better of yourselves. But I'm going to tell you, out of all the congregations I've been a part of, this one has actually a closer group of people than I have ever been a part of. And that's saying something, folks. You have a good group of people here that are concerned with one another, but that's where the pat on the back ends. We can always increase. If you remember, as the Apostle Paul told the church in Thessalonica, he said that there was no need for him to write to them concerning the love that they were to have for the brethren, but that they had already learned from the Lord that which they needed. But note that he says right after that, increase all the more. And so we need to continue to excel. We need to continue to grow closer. We can get to know one another better, and that will help. It makes a difference when a person walks through the doors. And I'm going to tell you, I have visited a lot of congregations in my lifetime. Through the travels with my family, through the travels with Anna and my family as I grew older, and just I've been a lot of different places. And you can tell how close a congregation is the moment you walk through the door. You can know if you see people off in groups and nobody's talking to one another, or if people are showing up just in time for services, the entire congregation shows up just in time, and as soon as the amen is over, you step back out of the way because the exodus is so fast to get out. You know that congregation really is just there for one purpose, and that is to put in some face time at the local congregation. They're not really there to worship God. They're not there for any other reason. And so we need to make sure that we are that caring congregation that the Lord will look at and will say, yes, that is a place I will send people who are looking for the truth of the gospel. And I mentioned two other things this morning that can increase our opportunities to share the gospel. The first thing was make a list. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything, but just in your mind, did you take some time to sit down and think of just a couple of people that you could put down on a list? I'm new to the area, and so I'm kind of limited. I don't know that many people, but I sat down and I made a list of people that I was interested in, that I thought that perhaps I can do something about, and begin what I talked about this morning. Doesn't do any good if I preach it and don't live it myself, does it? And so that's the thing. Take some time. You all know individuals that need to know the gospel that you should be concerned about. And so if you haven't already, take some time and make a list. Once again, don't make a big list. Don't write down 30 people and wear yourself out with that. Start with about 5 or 6 people that you would like to have the gospel being brought to. And sit down and as we mentioned this morning, pray for them. Pray for these souls on your list on a daily basis, because you need to pray, as we look this morning, that God will work together with you, that He will give you opportunities that you might be able to present the gospel to them, that He will give you the wisdom that you need. We need to be praying for wisdom and how to speak so that we will say it in the best way. There have been a lot of people with great intentions that have gone about it the wrong way and have turned people off. And we need to be very careful with that. And that's why we need to pray before we speak. We need to pray to God that He will give us the wisdom that we need. And then I'm sure there are many out there like me that you need to pray for boldness. That you will have the strength of faith that you need to step out of that comfort zone that you're in and to let them know that you have a great concern for them. Pray that you will have the boldness to do what needs to be done in preaching and teaching the gospel. Now, as we continue our lesson this evening, the next step that we want to look at is that we need to be doing things which demonstrate our love for them. Not only do we need to demonstrate our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we need to demonstrate our love for them. And the importance of this is really seen in this statement: people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Did you ever listen to the teachers in school that just looked like they were there to get a paycheck? They really weren't interested in teaching or anything. They were just there because that was all that they could find in their lives to do. And they really didn't care whether you passed or failed. And they were just there putting in face time in the class. Did you ever listen to them? Did you do well in their classes? That might have been a subject that you were really interested in. And you might have learned some things on your own, but you didn't learn anything from them. Did you ever have one of those teachers who was very passionate about the subject? Who just, it seemed, just lived and breathed the subject that they taught, and you just couldn't wait to get to their class because you knew that they were excited about it and you knew that they really wanted you to learn it? Do you see the difference there? When we know how much someone cares about us, we have a greater desire to learn what they have to teach us. You see, a demonstration of love will make a person more likely to be receptive to the gospel of love that we're to preach to them. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, there in verse 12, Peter says, "Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." Now think for just a moment what Peter is saying there. He's saying, all right, they're going to criticize you for being a Christian. They're going to make fun of you, but when they see how much you love them, when they see that you return good for the evil that they do to you, it's going to have an effect. And they're going to be there to glorify God. And really what I see from that is Peter is saying, you're going to turn them around. From rather being someone who persecutes the church, who makes fun of Christians, they're going to look at you and go, there's something good about that person. No matter how I treat them, they still treat me with love and respect. You can't glorify God on the day of judgment without being a child of His. And so it's going to have an effect to the point that by observing our good works, they will glorify God by obeying the gospel when it is presented to them. In other words, our love and our good works will help prepare the soil so that it will be as receptive as possible when the seed is finally sown. You see, showing our love for them, showing our concern for them, doing good things for them, that's tilling the soil. That's breaking up the hardness of their heart so that they'll be more receptive to the gospel. And some things that you might do is invite them into your home for a snack, for coffee, whatever. Visit them, especially during times of sickness or trial, difficult times. Let them know that you're concerned. Let them know that you're praying for them. And don't do what a lot of us do a lot of times. Oh, I'll pray for you. And then we get home and we get busy and we forget about it. Actually pray for them. Let them know that you're concerned. Do things with them on a social level. In other words, it seems that simple hospitality And neighborliness will go a long way in opening up their hearts to the gospel. Once again, if we're going to preach to them the gospel of love, we're going to preach to them that we're to love one another, that Jesus Christ loves them, that He loves us. We've got to be showing that love in our own life. When they see the incarnation of the gospel, that is, the principles of the gospel lived out in our lives, they will be more readily acceptable of the teaching of the Word of God. And so, sometimes it's better, instead of just going straight out and preaching and teaching to them Jesus Christ, to take some time and get to know them. To let them get to know you, to let them know that you're concerned about them. If you'll note the Apostle Paul, he would begin where his subjects were and began to teach. And to be able to do that, you have to know that individual. It doesn't do any good to go and talk to someone about the miracles of Jesus Christ and the life that He lived if they don't even believe in God. And so take some time and get to know them on a more personal level. And after you have spent some time in being hospitable and becoming better acquainted, then I believe the next step is to invite those on your list that you've been praying for, invite those on your list that you've been talking to and being kind to and showing hospitality towards, invite them to the services. And there are several good reasons for wanting them to attend the services of the local church. They will, or at least they should, have an opportunity to see a caring congregation in action. Unfortunately, this isn't the case in all places. And that's why we go back to the first step. Before we do any of these other things, we need to make sure that we are a congregation of caring individuals, that we are a congregation that are going to nurture that babe in Christ. It does no good to follow any of these other steps if we're going to bring them into a cold-hearted congregation that really could care less about them. God's not going to send them our way. I firmly do not believe that God is going to send open-hearted individuals to a congregation that doesn't care. But when they come to the services, they should see a caring congregation in action. And when it's combined with your own demonstration of love, you've shown them how much you care, and then they walk through the door and all these other individuals are there and they're concerned. Let me tell you something, folks, that can go a long way in breaking up the hardness of the heart of an individual. The demonstration of love by others should make a lasting impression. And also, in inviting them to the services, they will more likely have an opportunity to be presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's been noted that if they are attending regularly before they obey the gospel, they will continue to attend regularly afterwards. And so this is a very important step. And as you prepare to invite these souls to attend services, first, spend time in prayer. We cannot emphasize prayer enough. We think of prayer as something to do before our meals, something to do perhaps when we get up, something to do before our kids go to bed, something to do at the worship services. Prayer should be an integral part in every Christian's life, especially in evangelism. And so before you go to invite them, pray. Ask for wisdom that you will invite them in the best manner. Ask for boldness that you will offer the invitation to attend. And of course, you will more likely have people accept your invitation if they are among those that don't regularly attend somewhere else. But oftentimes, even those who do attend, and I'm sure you've come across this yourself, you're talking to somebody or you're just kind of standing there in the coffee shop or something and they're complaining about the church where they attend. You ever heard that? They're talking about some kind of problems that are going on in the local congregation. Anna was getting her hair done, and the lady cutting her hair and another lady were discussing the preacher and that they didn't really like where they were going. Well, it was a perfect end to invite them. Unfortunately, they didn't accept that invitation, but it was offered. And that's the thing. Make sure that we're offering and letting them know that we are concerned. Now, the next couple of steps become increasingly important. And one is to continue to demonstrate hospitality towards those that attend even after they have come. This really applies to all visitors. Whether you invited them or not, let them know you're glad that they're there. Let them know that you're concerned about them. Let them know that you have just as much love and concern for them as the ones who invited them. Some things that we can do might include greeting them,
letting them know that they are welcome. We need to understand this is something that not just the preacher, not just the men, not just the elders need to do, but it's something all of the Christians need to do. And sometimes the young people can have an even greater effect than some of us old fogies. So when you have a young person come in, and a bunch of old people are going up there, and it can be kind of overwhelming. But when a young person of the congregation comes up to them and says, "Hey, it's good to have you here," it can have an amazing effect. I know personally, having gone into places and you know, you have all these older people coming up and you're like, yeah, you're just supposed to be doing that. And then the young people come up and start talking to you and you instantly feel welcome. And so let's be sure that we're greeting everyone. All of this, whenever a visitor walks through that door, we should be doing everything that we can to make sure that they know that every member of this congregation is glad that they're here. And folks, it should be like that 99 that are inside the fold, and there's one that's lost. And you remember, when that one is brought back, there's what? There's great rejoicing. And so when that one lost person walks through those doors, we need to let them know how glad we are to have them here. Invite them home, or out for dinner, or just over for a snack. It does not cost a lot of money, folks. It will cost you a little bit of time. It might knock out a little bit of your television watching or things of that nature, but there are some things that are of much greater importance. Show them the hospitality that we should be showing them as Christians. And then also call or visit them after they have attended the services. Send them a card. Send them a letter, a warm letter of thanks for them coming and extending an offer of, if you need anything, let us know. If you would like to study the Bible more, let us know. I'll tell you, it means more when it's not the preacher or his wife or the elder and his wife that's sending these things. It means more when you get three or four from them instead of just a form letter sent by the church. And unfortunately, that's about the only thing that many people get. We have a registry in the back. We have cards. We need to make sure that we're using them. All of us are using them. Showing this love that we're to have towards them, who may even be strangers, is the true meaning of hospitality. And it's a very virtue that ought to characterize Christians. Look with me, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, there in verse 2, the writer of Hebrews says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." You know, I'd hate to be there on the day of judgment and an angel come up to me and go, "I knocked on your door and you turned me away. I came to the church building and you didn't even say hi to me." I'd hate to face that. And so we should be about hospitality. If we look further in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, in the latter part of that, Paul says, practicing hospitality. All of us need to be practicing hospitality. Let's not leave it up to the one or two families that regularly practice hospitality. Let's all be about it. We've got to push ourselves sometimes. You don't have to invite the whole congregation over to your house, folks. You don't have to invite all of the visitors. Let's say you have 20 visitors show up. You don't have to invite them all to your home. You can invite one or two, whatever you're comfortable with. But we can all do more. And in doing this, really we are preparing their hearts for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might ask how? Because we are demonstrating love as a congregation of Christians, and they will be more likely to believe that love that God has for them if they can see it in action in the lives of of the members of the local church. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning there in verse 11, the Apostle Peter says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers, they may because of your good deeds, as they observe them, as they watch you, as they see the love that you have, they might glorify God in the day of visitation." And so let's make sure that they are seeing God. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 35? "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if what? If you have love one for another." And so if they come in, as I've mentioned before, if they come in and they see a group of individuals that really don't care about one another, and then even worse, they're not that concerned about me when I walk through the door, they're going to know. If they've ever read their Bible, if they've ever read John chapter 13, they're going to know, well, that's not a group of God's people. And so we need to make sure that we are doing all that we can. And then finally, I believe we're ready for the most important step, and that is to see to it that they have an opportunity to hear the gospel. You know, when you go out to sow the seed in a garden, you don't just go out there and just throw the seed, devil may care. You take some time and you put forth an effort and you break up the soil. But what silly person is going to go out there and put in all the work? And let me tell you something, folks, it takes a lot of work to break up soil that has never been broken, to turn over ground and to get... And I can tell you how much grass you rake out of a garden. And it takes a lot of effort to get that soil prepared and to make sure that everything's just right. What kind of silly person would go through all that effort and then not drop some seeds in the ground? And so, once we've broken up the soil, once we've brought them in and we've shown them our concern for them, make sure that we are giving them the opportunity to hear the gospel. Now, ideally, this will come after they have witnessed a demonstration of the gospel in our lives. You remember that song we sing, "We Are the Lord's Bible"? They should be able to see God's Word in us. Kind of like Joseph, we've been studying in our Bible class on Sunday morning. Brother Harold's been doing a fine job of bringing out some of these excellent things about Joseph. And that really, I mean, look at him. They were able to see God was working through him. Even though they didn't really believe in the God of the Hebrews, they had their own gods. They were able to see that something important was going on in Joseph. And they put a great amount of trust in him. People should see the gospel in our lives. And if you feel confident in discussing it with them, then approach them yourself and suggest some sort of Bible study. You can either offer a Bible study with them in their home. There are, over here, I believe, they're really outdated. I'll not lie. But the Jewel Miller Film Strip Series, they still preach the same gospel. The pictures are just really, really outdated. I mean, it was done in the 60s and 70s. There's updated versions that are available. Robert Harkrider has a visual Bible study series that he has done. If you're good with a computer, you can sit down and put together a PowerPoint presentation that does the exact same thing and present the gospel. But make sure that you offer to study with them in their home. Brother Johnny Edwards has a couple of Bible study series that are for you to sit down, and they're rather simple. We use them in the Ukraine to a great effect in trying to train the ones that were there and how they can go out and teach others. They're good series, and all of them are rather cheap. But offer to have a Bible study with them in their home. Or offer that they can study on their own with the help of correspondence course. We have several that are available here. I think we've got three different correspondence courses that are out there in the rack, three or four. And then we've got a couple that we can have available on our website. There's a number of ways that you can teach the gospel without ever doing, really having to say much of anything other than, would you like to take a correspondence course? If you do not feel confident in approaching them about a study, if you feel that you're not prepared to answer the questions that they might have, you feel that you're not ready to conduct the class, let me tell you, there are people here who are ready and who are willing, who are just sitting there waiting for someone to call them and say, look, I talked to this fella, he's interested, and could you come with me? Make sure that you give them the opportunity to meet one another. When you're showing hospitality to those that you've got on your list that you're concerned about, but you're not really sure about teaching them, invite them over to your home one more time and invite somebody who you have confidence in as a teacher and introduce them. Say, well, here's our preacher, or here's one of our members, and they're very knowledgeable about the Bible, and I think they could do a better job teaching it than I can. And I thought it would be good for you to meet one another. You see, there are many things that we can do in the kingdom of God. Small things, as we sing in the song. But I believe that with these things, if they are carried out, our opportunities to share the gospel will increase. Our opportunities to save souls will be greatly increased. This congregation has been through a horrendous couple of years. You've weathered the storm. And the old saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Well, I'm here to say, you're not dead, so it must be making you stronger. You're ready for the next step. Continue increasing in your love for one another and your concern for one another, showing your care for one another, and then begin. I believe this church is ready for some serious growth. If we, and that's what you need to understand, it's all of us. It's not just the preacher, it's not just one or two others. This church will not grow to its full potential until every individual is doing the work that they can do. And there's a lot of things that we can do, and let's be about that. And let's make sure that we're doing what we can. Now, there's a couple of other things I would like to mention, and then we'll leave the lesson for this evening. But some things that can help if you're interested, if you want to work together as a congregation, then here are some suggestions. You can encourage one another to set goals, come together once a week, on a Sunday night after services, or Sunday afternoon, or Wednesday night, get together. There's a number of congregations that have the congregation divided into a couple of different groups, and that's their job. They come together 1 week out of the month. Each group comes together 1 week out of the month. And they sit down and they look at those that have attended, and they make sure that there are letters sent to them, multiple letters. They look at those that are falling by the wayside and that need to be encouraged, and they do what they can to encourage them, or those that they have on their list. And they work together in that. But encourage one another to set goals and share ideas for goals. Perhaps having over or visiting one person or family from the congregation. I mentioned, I gave you the challenge. Have one family over. If you don't feel like you can have an entire family, I'm going to tell you, there are several older people here. That's just one person that would probably love for you to invite them to your home. Take the time to get to know one another. Make a list of the souls for which you have been praying and begin praying. Do what you can to demonstrate your love for them. Look at these things and how you can help one another in this endeavor. Write the goals for the coming week down. And then pray together as a group. Pray about them that you might be able to work individually throughout the week. Praying for boldness for one another. Remember, Paul asked congregations to pray for him that he might have the boldness that he needs to preach the gospel. And let me tell you, from a personal perspective, I've had people praying for me for a long time in the preaching of the gospel, and I appreciate it. It means a lot to me to know that there are a number of individuals, my grandmother being number one. She mentions my brothers and I think probably more than any of the others, because we're preaching the gospel. And she has a great love for us for that. But it means a great thing to know that others are praying. And at each weekly meeting, sit down with one another and share and discuss how the goals are being met. It means a lot when you know that someone else is waiting to see how you're doing. You don't want to come back to that meeting and go, well, I didn't do anything. It's going to push you on to do more when you're being held accountable by others. When you know you're going to be sitting down and others are going to have fulfilled at least some of their goals and you haven't done any, you're going to work harder to make sure that you've done all that you can. And then set new goals for the upcoming week. Write them down and pray about them as well. The work of the church in the area of evangelism is the greatest work we can do. It's the effort of saving souls that are lost in this world. We all know individuals who are lost. We all know those that need to obey the gospel. Let's be about the work of preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, showing it in our own lives that they can see our love for them and our concern for their souls. They need to be able to see it in our lives. Perhaps you're here this evening and you've never obeyed the gospel. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you're missing out on the greatest thing the world has ever known, and that is the love of God. The love of God is there waiting for you. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's waiting. Jesus is there knocking at the door. But I don't know if you noticed in the bulletin a couple of weeks ago, I had that about Jesus at the door. And in the picture, there's no doorknob on the outside. He's knocking, but He will not force His way in. He's waiting for you to obey the gospel. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you understand that there are things in your life that separate you from that relationship that you should have with God? If you believe these things, come forward and confess your belief, repent of your sins, and be buried in baptism, becoming a part of a caring congregation, helping us and showing us how we should be as children of God. But perhaps you're here. You've obeyed the gospel, but you have not been the example that you should be. You haven't been demonstrating your love that you should. Now's the time to return to the Lord. Whatever your situation might be, make it right this night as we stand and as we sing.